No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, back in the Starkville studio. It's been an eventful day, as you guys are well aware. Coach Chris Simonis has been relieved of his duties as the Mississippi State baseball coach. Got some things we're going to say about that. I don't know if we go to full 1:30 today, but we're going to talk extensively about this, what I think needs to happen, what we knew, when we knew it, all that good stuff. We'll have a cool top 10 list, though, because the Hall of Fame inductee class has now been named. And, of course, there are some people that are being inducted that have no business being inducted, but that's a story for another day. But, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we're not going to recap the weekend. We'll get our ad reads in, but we're not going to recap the weekend. There's no point at this point. It's about kind of moving forward. There is a path for this team to make an NCAA regional, and I think that actually may have played into the decision. That's just my feeling on that, because I think it may be a scenario where, you know, we talk at length about the roller coaster that the Chris Simonis experience has been the last few years. And that's an important aspect of it, because I think if you get in a scenario where, you know, you end up, let's say, sneaking into a regional somewhere, then there's going to be, you know, some pressure to keep him or whatever. And I think now maybe with Chris moving on, that there will be some people that won't hate watch this team. They'll just kind of get behind the team. And that's really what's important right now, our team, our branding, our program, our tradition. And we are very grateful to Chris Simonis for his contributions to Mississippi State baseball, and we'll always be indebted to him for that NAFL championship. But a change was made, and now we move forward. Justin Parker will serve as your interim coach. I think he'll do a good job. He is an alpha dog. You guys need to be prepared for that. He is an alpha dog, and of course, I think in some respects, this may be kind of a job interview of sorts these next few weeks. I think there is a path for Justin to get the job too. You know, I think you need to go out there and make the best hire possible. That said, you know, if Justin Parker wins these last three series and gets his team into a regional, and let's say you win a regional, I think that he is a bona fide candidate for this job. I don't think Justin Parker is the guy that's just going to be the guy that rolls the baseballs out there and fills out the lineup card and says, let me go call my agent. You know, I think that's all a part of this. And so we'll talk at length about some of those things. We'll look at the schedule ahead. What do we think is doable? And we'll kind of reflect on the Chris Simonis era. I think that's an important aspect of it, too. And my hope is that history will be kind to Chris Simonis. There are some people, obviously, that will never forgive him for 22 and 23. And I think those seasons are probably different. You know, 22, we had so many injuries. 23, we just weren't very good. You know, we just weren't very good. 24, we were a good team, left some meat on the bone. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of the Lamonas file in hindsight, you know, kind of what the Lamonas experience was like. And we'll look ahead. I'll even give you a few names out there that I think should be considered for the job. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We have since the inception and their arrival in the greater Starkville community. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to have Bulldog Burger Company for lunch tomorrow. I think that's just a dandy of an idea, to be honest with you. Maybe you're thinking in those terms as well, and if not, you should, because Bulldog Burger Company knows what they're doing. I don't just eat for survival. I eat for enjoyment, and maybe sometimes a bit too much, but I enjoy the food that I get from Bulldog Burger Company every time I get it. There is a consistency and a quality there that just doesn't exist a lot of other places. Some places you go and just kind of have a bad day. I've never had a meal at Bulldog Burger Company where I was like, you know what, this isn't a do-over. Every time I'm thinking, I can't wait to go back. I love Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. And you never know, Bulldog Burger Company may be coming to your town next. Wouldn't that be grand? If you're on the way to town or you're in town, Bulldog Burger Company is the place to go. Find your own favorites. I like the Pimentology at Bacon. That's what I'm feeling right now for tomorrow. I think I need to make that happen. Maybe get the mission one day, but I get the pico de gallo on the side. You know how my feelings about onions. In addition to that, you get those spring rolls as your appetizer that make you and everybody around you better looking. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Thankfully, we were able to break the news of Lamonas' departure. And to give you a little backstory, I had some conversations last week. I kind of referenced that on the show. Had some conversations last week that really kind of led me to the line of thinking that, hey, this could be imminent, especially if we have a bad weekend at Auburn. Nothing certain, but just some things that were said to me, I thought, you know what? This is probably something we should prepare for. I've had Dave Murray write the story some time ago in anticipation of this, and I told him, I hope it's a story we never have to use, but I want to be prepared. After my conversations last week, I went ahead and picked out about 16, 18 names of potential candidates. You can read that over at jeanspage.com. It's a VIP feature. Matter of fact, we decided to bring a promo back. Contacted the network this morning as soon as the news was relayed to me. And so 60% off the annual subscription. That's going to run for about a week or so. And, you know, just you guys need to know, right? And so my thinking was, you know, certainly we probably would have done just as well. But I thought in times of crisis, we need to try to kind of give a discounted price. We need to do some things to make it easier for our fans to get information. We've got to make a living too, but we're going to do it at a discount here for a little bit. But last week I said, hey, Mike, let's go ahead and get the hot board together. I said, if we go to Auburn and get swept, I believe they're going to fire him on Monday morning. Well, we didn't get swept, but we didn't play exceptionally well. Now, we very well should have won that Friday game. And I go back to the decision, and we leave Pico in, and he gets the first two lefties on seven pitches, and then we leave him in to get the right-hander, even though he was around 113 pitches. I said it on Twitter. I said it on Saturday's show. I think that was a mistake. And I look, you don't know. Like, even if we get out of that thing 1-2-3, they may hit a walk-off home run in a ninth. You don't know. You just got beat, right? But didn't agree with the decision. Not my decision to make, but that's part of it. But, you know, Saturday game, we came out and we got the big lead. But, man, it even then, you know, we couldn't finish, right? I mean, you're up 10-1 and you're thinking this thing should be over in seven innings. You can save an arm or two for Sunday and then really make that rubber game interesting. And we couldn't put them away. And we ended up winning the game 12-7. But how many of you were on your seats those last couple of innings thinking, we're going to find a way to blow this? I kind of felt that way too. Of course, they load the bases there in the eighth, and I think, man, it shouldn't be this hard. We're Mississippi State baseball. But it was. Now, thankfully, you know, Nate Williams rolls up a double play ball, and Ace makes a good throw to second, Gatt with a good turn there. And the double play gets us out of the inning, and the ninth went pretty quickly. But we get the dub and then show up on Sunday, and Carson didn't have a good day. And even with that, you know, we didn't play well defensively. You know, we had three ground balls in the inning. I tweeted that, and some people wanted to argue with me about that. Guys, if you think that was just on Carson, you're just not being fair. Carson didn't pitch well, period. That said, when he rolls up three ground balls and we can't get an out of any of them, you know, then you have the tendency to overthrow. So there's enough blame to go around. And I've seen people out there, well, Carson Ligon this. Yeah, Carson didn't pitch well. That's true. We also didn't play good defense behind him. Both of those things are true. And the next thing you know, we're down 8-2. It's true. A couple of walks, a couple of home runs, those are on Carson, right? But there's a reason those bases were packed throughout the inning. It's because we didn't play good defense. And that has been one of those things that has just kind of lingered. There were some times this year, you know, up until recently, we had a pretty good run there. You know, with Sawyer Reeves at second. But how many times this year have we had opportunities to turn inning-ending double plays and couldn't do it? Right? And if some of that, too, is because it's taken us so long to settle on middle infielders. And, of course, Gatt didn't play on Sunday. And Dylan Cup, who hadn't played in a couple of weeks, got out there. And I don't know how many reps he's taken at second, you know. Appreciate him going out there and giving it a go, but he didn't play well. And then we ultimately pulled him and put Lucas Buckner in, and Buck actually came in and got a big hit for us and played pretty well. Young guy we think we can build around. But all that understood, you know, when I got up this morning, I didn't think he would be fired. We were prepared, but I didn't think he'd be fired. And I share that with you because I thought, well, there's still a path to get to a regional. And again, as I mentioned in the opening of the show, I think that's one of the reasons you make the decision when you do. You remember the Dennis Felton thing years ago at Georgia? Do you remember that? Dennis Felton was the coach at Georgia in men's basketball. And it was pretty much understood that Dennis Felton was not going to be brought back at the University of Georgia. Like, hey, this thing is done. We're going to go ahead and announce a coaching change, end of the year. Well, it was crazy because all of a sudden, Dennis Felton and those guys got hot. Yeah, they got hot and they win the 2008 SEC Tournament Championship game. And they beat us. They finished the year 17-17. They were just 4-12 in SEC play. That's it. And they end up making the tournament, and of course that triggered some language in his contract, and so they ultimately had to keep him for another year, right? They were the lowest seed in the tournament. They won four games in 3 days, including a doubleheader. That's when we had the tornado. They had to move the games to Georgia Tech. Remember that? It's nuts, man. But they made the NCAA tournament for the first time in 6 years and got beat by Xavier. But they ended up having to keep him. Of course, they fire him mid-year the next year. He goes 9-11, loses the first five SEC games, and they fire him. But he was highly heralded. You know, he had three great years at Western Kentucky. They made the tournament each year and won the Sun Belt Conference. And people thought, hey, this is a name on the rise. It never came together at Georgia, never. Matter of fact, the only NCAA tournament berth that Dennis Felton and Georgia had in his six seasons was that 17-17 year in 08 when they got hot and won the NCAA tournament, the SEC tournament. Pretty crazy. He got a second chance at Cleveland State and went 22-44 over 2 years. But I think a scenario like that may have actually played it. This is my opinion. May have played into that. It's like, hey, if he makes a regional and you have to keep him, what's going to be the reaction of the fan base? Well, I can tell you it would have been negative. Love Lamonis. I do. But I am a principles before personalities guy. I love Mississippi State more. I love winning more. I'm not going to sacrifice my expectations for anybody to have a job. Right? That's not my role in this process. Nor is it yours. And nor should you lower your expectations. Now, I can tell you, in many conversations with Chris Simonis this year and in the last several years, Chris was a guy that was committed to winning. At no point did he ever make excuses outside of the 22 season. 22 was just one of those years where, you know, things were just, you know, you lose Landon Sims and Stone Simmons in the same weekend. You ultimately lose Brooks Auger. You lose Casey Hunt the first weekend. We had some guys returning from a 21 team that kind of had draftitis. That's the only year that I ever heard Lamona say, you know what, it's just been tough, you know. Where he's like, you know, we don't have this, we don't have that. I never heard him say that in 23, and we just weren't good enough in 23. But I never heard him say that. I never heard him say, we're not capable of winning. Never. He said, we got to figure it out. I never heard him blame Scott Foxhall. I never heard him blame Jake Gautreaux. None of that. Never at any point. And, of course, he goes out and he hires Justin Parker when many people said he couldn't. And you see kind of a revival last year. Now, to be fair, Justin Parker had a lot better starting pitching to work with last year than he does this year. And that's not a reflection of Pico. Pico's been outstanding. But at the beginning of this year, you know, Carson Ligon was a guy that we thought, hey, where does he fit? We didn't think he'd be a weekend starter. And to be honest with you, I really believe if Charlie Foster hadn't been injured, that by this time now, I think Charlie Foster could have been your Sunday guy. And then maybe you move Ligon to the bullpen or the midweek, you know. There's a role for him, but the fact that he's had to start basically every weekend this year, I think says more about the fact that we missed out on some arms in the portal, and there weren't a lot of great ones in the portal this year. And of course, Zach Root, of course, was the guy we really wanted. He goes to Arkansas. And that's been probably the story the last 3 years. We talk about those marquee portal wins, you know, and I told you guys then Ace Reese was going to be a superstar at Mississippi State. He has been. And that's a good evaluation. You know, Sawyer Reeds, we knew he'd be a good player for us. He got the yips at second. But we hit on all these portal bats. I mean, Noah Sullivan's been a good player for us, obviously. Gat Sanders, a guy that showed up as the fourth team second baseman, has become your regular everyday second baseman. So our ability to evaluate and develop and kind of cultivate guys has been pretty good, at least out of the portal on our bat side. But the, you know, the pitching side, I mean, even Cal Steven. You know, Cal Steven was not some highly recruited guy out of Purdue. He was just kind of a middle-of-the-road guy at Purdue and comes to Mississippi State, Justin Parker, along with his commitment, Cal's personal commitment to get better, made him a very wealthy young man. But this year, we knew we were going to be an arm or two short. And again, we knew that maybe Charlie would have to be a guy for us. Turns out he's been injured, and we still have a lot of faith in him to kind of make some things happen. But the reality of it is that, you know, we're an arm or two short, and that has really come home to roost. You know, you've had a couple of injuries here or there. I mean, we expected Gavin Black to be more of a factor, obviously. You know, he's had some health injuries. But the bottom line is this, is that we're not as good as we should be. And talking to Lamonis, that's one of the things that he said. You know, when I spoke to him, he didn't rant, rave. I wrote about this earlier, and you can read that one for free. But at no point did he blame anybody else. At no point did he say, you know what, hey, the administration didn't give me this, or I didn't get enough support. None of that. He handled it like a pro. And that's who Lamonis is. And a lot of you guys don't know him, obviously, the way that I do. But he handled it with dignity. He walked out of there like a man. And rather than get out there and go crazy and, you know, blame everybody else, he goes, you know, the reality of it is, Steve, is there's expectations here and I didn't meet them. And that's tough to hear, but that's the reality. He gets it. Chris sees it the same way that you and I see it. And for many people, it wasn't personal with Lamonis. Sometimes it came across that way, and for some people it was. And there were some people that were against him from the very beginning. And that's one thing. You know, John kind of set an impossible expectation. You know, John comes out after we fire Andy Cannizzaro, and he's like, or we resign Andy Cannizzaro, and says, we're going to go out and hire the best baseball coach in America. And then everybody's like, yes, yes, we're finally serious about baseball. We have a baseball savvy AD, and we're going to do what we need to do to get over the hump. And so, you know, we're out there chasing Dan McDonald. We interviewed Tim Corbin, even though we knew that he wasn't coming. He chased us. There were some other people out there that, you know, they kind of misconstrued their candidacy, you know, publicly. And that's those are things that I think you remember, too. And I even shared that with our current leadership, that, hey, this is how the guy handled it, you know. And I think that was an aspect of things that maybe people didn't fully appreciate. But all of that understood. Lamontas won an AFL championship at Mississippi State. And I think that's when, again, you can say what you want to about that process. But Chris Lamontas will forever be remembered as the coach that won the first ever baseball AFL championship at Mississippi State. Let's quickly kind of go back and just take a look back here. You know, in 18, you know, we were in a bad spot. We were. And give Gary Henderson a lot of credit. And a lot of people wanted to make the emotional hire. Gary got us to Omaha, and we're like, hey, let's just give it to Gary, you know, and we're bigger than that. And you got to think, too, give John Cohen some credit for kind of going against the grain there. Because there was a lot of public sentiment, give Gary the chance. Well, we didn't. And you got to think, too, of course, Gary was John's pitching coach, and perhaps nobody knew Gary better than John. And so if John's like, no, he's not going to be a candidate, then I got to trust John's judgment there. Well, he goes out and he hires Lamontas.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
And in 2019, Chris Lamontas set the SEC record for wins by a first-year SEC coach. Were you aware of that? The Bulldogs went 52-15, 20-10 in conference play, and we're really in a good situation, right? I think we forget that. And a lot of people say, well, it's inherited players. We still got to coach them. And it's one of those things, too. People are like, well, John did this and Ron Polk did that. None of them won an AFL championship. Now, they may have maintained a little more consistency. And John had some up and downs, too, right? That's an important thing to remember. You know, as great as some of those years were under John, John had some clunkers, and he'll admit that. But you go back and you look at this 19 season, you know, of course, you know, we sweep Alabama, and that's give Lamontas a lot of credit. He dominated Alabama during his time here. You lose the series against Arkansas, and you sweep Georgia, and you start feeling good about life, and you lose you win two out of three, down at College Station, Texas. I remember that crazy Sunday game, Saturday game back on that doubleheader, how nuts that thing was. Rowdy runs that ball down on high. Still to this day, I don't know how he caught that ball. But he did. He did. We get in the SEC tournament. We beat LSU 6-5 in 17 innings. Lose to eventual NAFL champion Vandy 1-0. Remember that? Magnamy didn't quite see it, and we ended up giving up a run early. And that's it. Ethan Small loses a 1-0 decision. We get into the regional, and we kind of cruise right through that thing. We sweep the regional against Southern and Central Michigan and Miami. Get in a super regional against Stanford. We win both games. and we go to Omaha, and we really felt like that team was capable of winning an NFL championship because you had, obviously we had JT Ginn, even though he wasn't 100%. You had Ethan Small, a couple guys that pitched in the bigs. You get Auburn on the walk-off. We have the postponed game on Tuesday against Vandy, turn around on Wednesday and lose 6-3. Put us in loser's bracket, and we felt like the game wrapped up against Louisville to eliminate them and then advance back and have another shot at Vandy. And we give up two runs in the ninth and drop that ball game 4-3, which ended the great career of one Jake Mangum. That's when Jake gave that impassioned speech that Lamontas would lead Mississippi State to a NFL championship. I remember being in the postgame locker room, and I told Jake Gautreau, we got a chance in 2020 to do something we'd never done before. And he goes, what's that? I said, go to Omaha three straight years. We've never done that in the history of our program. And Jake looked at me and he goes, we'll be back next year. And we feel like we probably would have been had we finished out the year. We had some ups and downs, but we ended the year on a five-game winning streak. We were 12-4. We asked the abbreviated season. We had Jordan Westberg and Justin Foscue as our middle infielders. He had a lot of guys back. Now, if they don't cancel the season and you don't have the abbreviated draft, you probably lose TA and Rowdy. That's something I don't think a lot of people realize. Of course, in 21, what a memorable year that was for all of us. But even in that year, there was some herky-jerky stuff early. Of course, we finished that year 50-18, 20-10 in the league, and win the NFL championship. But, we lose that one game against TCU out there, and Drew McGowan hit an absolute laser back toward the middle, and they had him shaded up there. If it's, 3 feet either way, State walks that game off. But, again, you drop that Friday night game to Tulane, you end up winning the series, and you end up having to walk them off. It's one of those things. We had so many walk-offs in 21, too. And I think there was a belief among that team, and it came from the players in many respects. We're Mississippi State. We're going to find a way to win. And we did. And we had that middle game lost to Kent State. Maybe you forgot about that. We did. True story. Lost that game. And then we're getting no hit against Eastern Michigan. And we find a way to come back and win that game. Nuts. I'm sure you remember that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. There's all these things that happen. But, we figured it out, Kind of crazy how life works. Get into SEC play and you're feeling good about life. You go down and take 2 out of 3 from LSU and Arkansas shows up. It's the series we've been waiting on for 2 years. Get our revenge against Arkansas. They show up here and absolutely ambush us and sweep all 3 games. And how crazy is it? That's the team that wins a national championship, right? Pretty crazy. Yeah, you sweep Kentucky. You sweep Auburn. You take 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss and Oxford, in Starkville, excuse me. You lose 2 out of 3 to Vanderbilt, and one we felt like we should have had. We kind of gave it away on Sunday. We did. Kumar just shoved on Friday. We beat Leiter on Saturday, and we get the big lead early, and then we don't score the final 8 innings of the game. And typically, when you don't score in the final 8 innings of a baseball game, you typically lose. We sweep A&M. And then get 2 out of 3 from South Carolina. Felt like we needed that third game in South Carolina, even though they kind of stacked the bullpen after we got some separation those first 2 ball games and saved their big relievers for Sunday. And then, again, we have a chance to clinch a share of the SEC championship. We win game one against Missouri and then drop the next 2. You remember that game we got shelled in game 3, and everybody's thinking, well, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be a top 8 national seed. Well, of course we did. And we end the season in a regular season taking 3 from Alabama. Again, Lamontas just owned Alabama. We go 0-2 in Hoover. And again, everybody's back out. This team doesn't deserve it. Well, we ended up sweeping through the regional, taking 2 out of 3 from Notre Dame. And then we go win the national championship. And ever since then, something's kind of been missing. And, I've talked to people, I can't put my finger on it. I think a lot of it is just the fact, too. Like, I think sometimes coaches have a tendency to kind of recruit in their own image. Lamontas is kind of a laid-back guy. Now, he gets on the guys, don't get me wrong. You know, he's not passive. But he's not a guy that I think is maybe demanding as John Cohen and certainly Andy Cannizzaro were. And I don't know if we can compare ourselves to Andy Cannizzaro and come out of that thing ever feeling worse. But nevertheless, in 2022, you know, we open up and we lose that series to Long Beach State. Now, granted, they were ranked, and they had a sure enough starter on Friday night, but it's like, guys, that second game, we got beat 13-3 at home by Long Beach State in a game that we got up 2-0 and get outscored 13-1 the rest of the way. Pretty crazy stuff. And then we lose the Friday game in Northern Kentucky. You know, it's just like weird things just happened. We go down to Tulane, of course. We talked about that. You know, you lose that 10-inning game, and ultimately the series get beat 5-4 on Sunday. 2 one-run losses. And at this point, we're kind of decimated. We split with Texas Tech. You sweep Princeton, but you just kind of felt like the pain was coming, right? You just knew it because we just didn't have enough pitching. We get lose 2 out of 3 to Virginia, to Georgia. We get absolutely crushed on Friday, and then we blew the lead. Parker Stinnett was part of that. Game 2, you lose 12-11. I remember interviewing Hunter Hines following that ball game for the first time. The first word he said when I walked up to him was something I can't repeat on the radio. And then we absolutely destroyed them on Sunday 20-3. And again, we take 2 out of 3 from Alabama. You know, give Lamontas credit for that. We get 1 from Arkansas in extra innings there. Lose the series and get swept by OSU. Get 2 out of 3 from Auburn, and we had some good success against Auburn through the Lamontas era too. Get 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss. That's another thing. We've done a really good job against Ole Miss over the years. And then, you know, we go to Missouri and lose 2 out of 3. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Get swept by Florida, and it's like everything just kind of goes off the rails the rest of the way. You're swept by A&M, give up a school record number of runs against Tennessee as they sweep us, even though those last two games are competitive. And you're like, you know what? This is just not going to work out, right? And the thing that I will say about that year is so much of it had to do with injuries. Now, again, 2023, a different year entirely, and we ended up going 27-26, but, you know, there are just some things that happened, like dropping game 2 to VMI. Like, Mississippi State should never lose to VMI. I understand baseball's baseball, but those are the things that I think people just got sick of. It's like, you know, you lose that game in Northern Kentucky, you lose a game to Tulane, you know, you lose a game to VMI, and all due respect to Tulane, but they should never go win in Starkville, Mississippi. You lose a game to Louisiana Monroe, right? Now you play Arizona State, you get 2 out of 3, you think, okay, we're coming back, things are going to be okay. We go to Frisco, we wouldn't cover that, obviously. We lose to Ohio State and Oklahoma, and those games really weren't competitive, and then we turn around and beat Cal. Sweep Valpo, we beat Valpo, then sweep Lipscomb. We go to Biloxi and win those two down there, and you think, okay, things are going to be okay. We go to Kentucky, and we get swept. And mercy ruled on Sunday. And as the guy that was up there covering that thing in around 18-degree weather, it was not good. We get swept by Vanderbilt. And, of course, I remember that. What's the first game, the Friday night game? Yeah, we got beat 26-3. We get South Carolina. We should have won the series. We didn't. We lose 2 out of 3. We did mercy rule them on the in game 2. And then there's Alabama again, who we just simply owned. Lamontas 2 out of 3 against them in that series. We get 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss. Now, all of a sudden, you feel like maybe you're riding the ship a little bit. And then from there, we did not win an SEC series the rest of the year. I mean, it just felt like then, okay, we're going to be okay, but we didn't. We didn't win an SEC series the rest of the year. And to me, the low point of this season was that loss to Samford. It was brutal, man. It was. It absolutely was. And, you know, and maybe I'm confusing the seasons, but, you know, that's the thing. We had some inexplicable losses in these midweek games at times. you know, that's the thing. You've come to kind of expect that to happen. Of course, last year, you know, much better year. But I think a lot of it, you know, we've only won 40 games or more, I think 15 times. But we left a lot of meat on the bone. You go 17-13 last year, and typically that's hosting. But, of course, with those four quad four losses, that kept us out. But it's not just that, right? You blow the Friday-Sunday save at Arkansas. You blow the Friday-Sunday save at Florida. And you begin to think about that. Let's just say you win half of those games. You're 19-11. You're knocking on the door potentially being a top eight national seed, but you're certainly hosting. Pretty crazy in that respect, right? But again, I mean, you go back again, you know, the Saturday loss to Air Force. It's like we were always due for one of those, right? Get swept in a two-game midweek thing by Austin Peay. And everybody pulled out. Everybody's like, this is enough. Georgia Southern gets this middle game in their series. We sweep Mount St. Mary's to start feeling a little bit better. We sweep Evansville, and at the time we didn't realize how good that was going to end up being. Those guys with purple aces ended up being one win away from Omaha. How crazy is that? We split at Biloxi, which we never do. And then we go down there and take two out of three from LSU. And that's some people are like, hey, well, maybe it was Foxhall. Maybe it was. Maybe. I guess that was in Star. That was 23 we went down and won it at LSU. But, yeah, we get LSU again up here, and then, you know, we get we lose two out of three to A&M. You know, it just felt like, again, we just didn't feel like Mississippi State. Does that make sense to you? We just haven't felt like Mississippi State in a while. And, of course, we lose that series to Ole Miss for the first time in forever. But, you know, there's no point going back and recapping the whole thing. But, you know, the bottom line is this. You know it. I know it. Chris knows it. Zach Selman knows it. Ron Polk knows it. Everybody else. We just didn't win enough. And people want to find the reason why. But the bottom line is it's all just details. The reasons why don't even really matter. It's just a win mentality. No matter what the situation is, it was Chris's job to win, and he didn't win enough. And, again, I'm very grateful for the NAFL championship. But the thing, again, we did not build upon that. And I don't know how you can go back and kind of conduct the autopsy and maybe point, hey, this was a turning point. My firm belief is we were probably a little bit too loyal to some players in 2022 because we'd won the NAFL championship and you didn't want to run those guys off. And, you know, and we probably weren't aggressive enough in the portal that year. You know, things have kind of ramped up the last couple of years, but I think maybe we were a little bit slow to act. You know, Dave Van Horn and those guys at Arkansas, they don't go portal crazy because they develop players up there and kind of supplement where they have a need. And I think we kind of saw ourselves the same way. It's like, hey, we're going to build this thing with high school players, and they'll be with us for 3 years, and that'll be a more stable environment for success. And it just didn't prove to be, you know. So that's the understanding that we have to live with now. But, again, very grateful to Chris Lemonis for all of his support over the years and the things he's done for Mississippi State baseball. But now we move forward. And even though we're not going to recap the weekend it was, we are going to name a player of the weekend, and that's brought to you by closewithblair.com. You guys know Blair. He's our collective friend in the mortgage industry. 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. 24 years of experience in the mortgage industry. He can get you to the closing table when so many other people can't. He has the expertise and know-how to kind of be your advocate with underwriting to give you the best chance for approval. Get that pre-qualification letter, kids. It's one of those hacks in life they don't tell you about, but a good loan officer will do that for you. And you want to see a motivated real estate agent, once they know that you've got approved financing up to a certain price, they're going to get you in a house that you love sooner rather than later. Be sure and check in with closeatblair.com. Our player of the weekend's got to be Ace Reese, right? It's got to be Ace Reese. I thought Ace had a great weekend. I think you guys did as well. Ace is a guy, too, that we're going to have to work to ensure stays here, right? I think everybody would agree. Ace Reese is the cornerstone that we can kind of build next year's team around. Of course, you got Lucas Buckner coming back. Gad Sanders still has a year. Garrick Fry still has a year. You got some pieces to work with there. But I don't know that any are more valuable than Ace Reese. Not draft eligible this year. And a guy that's really done some cool things. Hitting 343, which is second on the team only to Gehrig Fry. And Ace has had about 65, 70 more at-bats, you know. Got 58 hits on the year, which is a team high. He scored 41 runs, which is second on the team only to Noah Sullivan. 16 tanks, 53 RBI. If he was playing for a team in contention, he would be in contention for some potential SEC Player of the Year type honors. I don't know that he'd win it. There's some guys out there putting up some bigger numbers. But he has done a really good job for us. And I don't know that he's even quite 100%. You know, he'll tell you he is. But, you know, he had that that deal with the boot. You know, he missed the game and kind of an injured foot there. But he's a real dude. We need to keep him in maroon and white. I don't think there's any question. But he is your player of the weekend. And real quickly here, just taking a look back at the weekend it was with Ace of Canton, Texas, right? But, pardon me. But he hit in all three games and really did some damage in that respect, you know. Had a couple tanks yesterday. Of course, one of them, the game was already decided by then. But really got us going on Saturday with the home run. As we chased Cade Fisher after one inning and hit two tanks yesterday. That's six hits in 13 at-bats for Ace, who is a bona fide star. So congratulations to Ace Reese, our close with Blair Player of the Weekend. Okay, now we move forward to our top 10 list brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's CalidoGuitars.com. That is a Mississippi State company based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. They know how to take care of the guitar player in your life, whether it be a new gig or a new rig, a new guitar case, a gig bag, some strings, anything that you need for guitars, you can find at Kalido Guitars. They're going to give you some incentive too, not just a discount, to buy from them, but also to help Mississippi State. If you buy through Kalido Guitars, you can call them, you can do it over the phone, you can do it online, and use promo code BSR. You get a 10% discount. You get no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. You get free shipping, and a 5% donation of your purchase price goes to the Bulldog Excellence / Bulldog Initiative Fund. Look no further than Kalido Guitars. I like to keep business in the family. Again, this is a company owned and operated by Mississippi State people. Incredible instruments at a great price, incredible expertise. They know how to get you going before, during, and after the sale, right? And if you just go buy something online from somewhere else, I just think you deserve more than a pawn shop guitar. I think you do. Yeah, maybe you get that pawn shop guitar when you're kind of picking it out, kind of learning if you like it, but the reality of it is you need a new rig and you can find it at Kalido Guitars. All right, we mentioned this. The Hall of Fame class is out. Your Bad Company's in. They should have been like a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's stupid. Outkast makes it. Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Cyndi Lauper, the White Stripes, and others. I guess Seven Nation Army gets you in. Iron Maiden's not in. Motley Crue's not in. Doesn't make any sense to me. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's not the Pop Music Hall of Fame. They want to do that, they can. But it's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But I'm glad it's Soundgarden's going in. Pumped about that. So we're going to do a special Soundgarden list. We've done Soundgarden before, but we're going to celebrate the music of Soundgarden today. You know, we had Chris Cornell Week one time on the show. And we did the Audioslave Soundgarden, and of course, his solo work. But we're going to go with Soundgarden today. And here are the top 10 Soundgarden songs, in my estimation, right now. And that could change next week. But this is how I feel today. Number 10, one of the heaviest songs they've ever produced off the Bad Motorfinger album, a song written by Kim Thayil. It's Room 1,000 Years Wide. And this sounds so great in the car, it'll make you want to pump the gas and get on down the road. So be careful, set the cruise, put your seatbelt on, and kind of get going. Number 9, from the Loud Love album, you know, the first one was Ultra Mega OK, released through Sub Pop, and then their first with A&M was Loud Love. or louder than love, pardon me. But Hands All Over, number nine. And that was kind of the gateway song for many of us, because the thing that gave Soundgarden some notoriety is on like Headbangers Ball, they were like, hey, this is the band that Axl Rose says is the next big thing. And they were. They were. And so Chris's voice obviously stands out on this song. And here you go. Number eight, a bit of a morose tune that Chris Cornell wrote for the Super Unknown album, which is phenomenal. It's The Day I Tried to Live. And a lot of people know that. It had a big video on MTV. Number seven, going back to the Louder Than Love album, it's Loud Love. Yeah, it's also got Big Dumb Sex on there. But Loud Love is your number seven track today. And again, kind of shows off the Chris Cornell range a good bit. Number six, a song that was somewhat controversial in the eyes of many. And basically, it's about self-loathing and victimization. It is in no way disrespectful to Jesus Christ, though some people misinterpret it. And of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ pose. As you stare at me in the Jesus Christ pose. That's not disrespectful to our Lord and Savior. It's about those people that need to climb down off the cross because we need the wood. There are so many people out there that are volunteering to be victims and to feel oppressed in today's society. That's what the song is about, even though it was written way back in the early 90s, over 30 years ago. It's no more true back then than it is today. Timeless song. Number five, off the great Down on the Upside album, It's Burden in My Hand. Love this one. And you know it. You know, follow me into the desert as thirsty as you are, right? The lyrical content on this album and really in the whole catalog is phenomenal. But Burden in My Hand is a great, great song. I have loved it for many years. Number four, Johnny Cash covered this. So that should give it some validity, right? If it's good enough for Johnny Cash, it's good enough for me and you. And it's Rusty Cage. Off the Bad Motorfinger album. And it's like three songs in one. The arrangement on this is just kind of all over the place. And that's one of the things I think that makes it very unique. But Rusty Cage, number four. Number three, and probably the song that even the preps know, and those of you that grew up in my generation, you know what I'm talking about? Like, there were so many people that we loved the bands, and then all of a sudden, like, they'd have some success, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, all those kids that wore, like, their Izod polos, and they tucked them in to their tight roll jeans with their Dexters and things like that. This was the song they would have jumped aboard. Like, oh, I love Soundgarden. Yeah, you didn't know anything about Soundgarden. So they played that on MTV. But it's Black Hole Sun. And the vocal on this, obviously, incredible. And I actually have a Black Hole Sun tattooed on my left knee. It's true. Blacked out knee. It's true. You see me in shorts. And not everybody looks good in shorts, but I look pretty good in shorts. Number two, arguably my favorite song from Soundgarden, but I didn't want to end with this one. I could have easily made this number one. It is probably the fan's choice. Probably the fan's choice. It's Fell on Black Days. And the video itself, they actually did like a live performance, and you can find that. You can listen to the audio from the video on iTunes and Spotify, but you can also listen to the studio version. I love them both. But Fell on Black Days, again, I've got some lyrics from that song tattooed on my Chris Cornell leg sleeve. I've got a portrait of Chris from the biography of Chris. And then underneath it, it says, you know, a searchlight soul, they say, but I can't see it in the night. I'm only faking when I get it right. Incredible. Incredible. He was a tortured soul, and I miss him. I do. But number one, and for many of you, this was a gateway song for you. Maybe Hands All Over and Loud Love wasn't enough to convince you that Soundgarden was the real deal. This song did, because so many of you were looking California and feeling Minnesota. It's outshined. And Chris has given a few interviews over the years kind of explaining that, and he's given some different explanations. But the one that I go back to is the one in Rolling Stone when, you know, the interviewer asked him about that. And he said, you know, it's like you're looking cool but feeling cold. You know, it's like, it's almost like a paradigm in that respect where it's like everybody looks at you and say, hey, he's kind of got it together, but inside you don't, right? I'm looking cool, but I'm feeling cold. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But what clever wordplay by Chris Cornell. But yes, I do miss Chris Cornell. He is, in my estimation, the greatest singer-songwriter of my lifetime. He has sung my story in many respects. And when I first got into Pine Grove, I had a roommate, ironically, that was an Ole Miss student. And he's like, dude, do you know Soundgarden? I said, I do. I don't have any of their albums, but I do. And he goes, you need to listen to this. And I was hooked. And then I went out and bought Bad Motorfinger. And then I went back and bought Louder Than Love. And then I went back and got Ultra Mega OK. And the next thing you know, Super Unknown's coming out. And Dana and I went and saw them in New Orleans with many of you at the UNO Lakefront Arena. Yeah, it's true. It was with Reverend Horton Heat and a band called UMI. I had never seen Horton Heat, but they put on a great show. And Soundgarden came out and played like four encores. And it was an incredible night. And the last one was Hands All Over. And I remember thinking, I am so glad that I got to see them at their peak. And it's so interesting. I was in Rocklahoma. I was so geeked. We were going to get to see Soundgarden. And, you know, Chris killed himself. And Rock on the Range was the week before. And then it was Rocklahoma. And ironically, both nights that they were scheduled to play, the rains came as if the earth was crying in memoriam of Chris Cornell. And after Soundgarden, of course, had the back out of Rocklahoma, Live was supposed to play. And I was geeked about that, but the set got rained out. And but nevertheless, I'm grateful to have been alive at the same time that Chris Cornell was, because we got to kind of witness his glory and majesty as it came out. And you know how that is, too. Like, you get an album and you get to know every song on the album, and you love them all, right? And then a new album comes out, and you're like, hey, these are my new favorite songs, right? So cool, right? Because a lot of times you go back and say, hey, I think you would dig this one, but like, you just listen to the greatest hits instead of like going on the journey that an album takes you. And so I'm very grateful. And in many respects, Chris Cornell wrote the soundtrack of my life and certainly of my early recovery. There was so much strength that I pulled because he was the guy that shared his pain with all of us. And I'm very grateful that he was willing to do that. And I know so many of you that were impacted too, but there's never been a celebrity death that affected me more than that of Chris Cornell. And so I'm very grateful that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame got this right. Soundgarden. Going in to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, don't we love Campus Bookmart? They're always there when we need them. How cool is that? It's so great to have Campus Bookmart in our town, stocking all the great Mississippi State merchandise that we need. Yeah, that's the most important part of it, right? You need somebody there when you need that hard-to-buy-for Bulldog. You can find something they're going to love at Campus Bookmart, whether that be apparel or just gift ideas. That's an important aspect of all of it, right? One-stop shopping at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces, be sure to visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal listener to this show, you get a promo code. That's BSR. You know it. Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75. And a reminder, finals are coming up, which means graduation's not far away. It's a great, great gift idea, the diploma frame for your new Mississippi State grad. Be sure and check it out. And buy yourself something. You don't treat yourself enough. You don't. So I'm giving you permission right now, when you ordered a diploma frame, buy yourself a new t-shirt. All right, let's take a look back at the weekend it was in the Southeastern Conference. And we're going to talk some football portal news. It's been a busy few days. On Saturday, your scores, Georgia went 6-3. Tight ball game in Athens. And again, that says a lot about Skip Johnson and his crew's ability to pitch. Alton Davis gets the win there in relief. He's up the record to 4-0. Colby Branch, 3-for-3 with a couple of solo home runs for Georgia in the winning effort. Kentucky wins game 2, 7-3 over South Carolina. Tough year for South Carolina for sure. Nate Harris, who we'll see, 4-2 on the year, 7 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. Again, we'll see him this coming weekend. We'll talk more about Kentucky later in the week. Arkansas gets Florida 7-0 on Saturday. Big game for them. Gabe Gackel gets the win. Kahui Aloy, 2-for-5 in the ballgame. Bobby Bozer, the very talented leadoff hitter at Florida, goes 1-for-3. Texas, 3-2 winners to take the series against the Aggies. Luke Harrison gets the dub there. Ethan Mendoza, 3-for-4 day, 2 RBI, the home run there. That proved to be very significant as it was a very tight game. And Texas just running away with this thing now. South Carolina and Kentucky, the game 2 of the doubleheader. South Carolina gets a dub there, 5-4. Henry Kazmaier, the very talented 9-hole hitter that had a couple tanks against Mississippi State, goes 3-for-5 in the ballgame. Ole Miss, 7-1 winners over Vanderbilt to take the series there. We knew it'd be an interesting one. And you knew as well as I do, Vanderbilt just wasn't going to be able to win a shootout with Ole Miss. Riley Maddox gets the dub there, 5-3 on the year, 7 innings pitched. R.J. Austin, the very talented center fielder from Vanderbilt, goes 2-for-4. Tennessee gets LSU 9-3 to even that series up as they go into Sunday. And Sunday, you know, that's moving day, very eventful Sunday. Kentucky takes a series over South Carolina 11-5. Ben Cleaver, very talented pitcher. Again, we'll see him this weekend. Goes 5-2 now. 5 2/3 of an inning and got 6 runs while he was in the ball game to earn him the victory. It was 6-1 after 5. And then South Carolina kind of gets to him a little bit there in the 6th, and so they have to pull him. And Kentucky with 4 there in the 8th to kind of remove any question. Florida takes a series from number 5 Arkansas. Florida, we knew they were kind of figuring some things out. That's 3 series wins in a row, including the one last weekend against Mississippi State. Luke McNeely, the winner in relief, ups his record to 4-2. We mentioned Bozer earlier, 3-for-5 in a ballgame with 2 RBI. All of it very significant. Vanderbilt salvages the Sunday game, and Mercy rolls Ole Miss 13-0. The Rebels limited to just 3 hits. Connor Fennell, the winning pitcher, goes 7 innings. The game only went 7 innings. So a complete game for him. Riley Nelson, 3-for-5 with an RBI. Ole Miss's center fielder, Isaac Humphrey, 2-for-3 in the ballgame. And then LSU absolutely destroys Tennessee to take the series 12-2 in 80 innings. LSU walks off the mercy rule in the 8th. You never know what to expect from the Tigers. Tennessee, pitching-wise, not as deep, I think, as we expect them to be. Derek Correll, your SEC freshman of the week, goes 4-for-4 in that ballgame. 5 RBI and a home run. Very, very talented player there. And then Texas, 6-5 winners over Texas A&M. Longhorns now 19-2 in SEC play and 37-5 overall. So looking back at it, just in case you've had trouble keeping up, Georgia takes 2-of-3 from Oklahoma. Very competitive series, but Georgia does take 2-of-3. Alabama sweeps Missouri. No surprise there. The Tigers now 0-21. Kentucky 2-of-3 from South Carolina. Florida 2-of-3 from Arkansas. Of course, Auburn 2-of-3 from Mississippi State. LSU wins the series 2-1 against Vanderbilt. Ole Miss 2-1 against Vandy. And then Texas sweeps Texas A&M. If there was ever any doubt about Texas and their national championship possibilities, I believe they have been answered. Huge rivalry win from them. Tomorrow night, Northern Kentucky will visit Tennessee. Charleston Southern at South Carolina. Lamar is at Texas A&M. Arkansas will take on Missouri State. That could be a very interesting game. It's in Springfield, Missouri. That's one of the reasons we bring it up. To get an SEC team to come to your park this time of year, pretty significant. Kennesaw State will be at Georgia. Kentucky will head to Western Kentucky en route to Starkville, Mississippi. Memphis, of course, will be at Mississippi State. It's a rematch of the pitching performance. When we went up there and played Memphis, of course, Noah Sullivan's going to start for the Bulldogs, Cade Robinson for the Memphis Tigers. Indiana State kind of fought on hard times last year. People thought they should be in the hosting discussion. They're under 500 right now, 21-22 overall and 9-9 in their league. They'll visit Vanderbilt. That could be interesting, right? You never know. Missouri will be at Kansas. Kansas ranked 25 in the latest D1 baseball poll. Jackson Lovett still kind of being the straw that stirs drink for the Tigers. Having a really good year, even in a tough year for his team. They're 13-30, but he's hitting 345 with 8 home runs and 40 RBI. Auburn will visit Samford in Hoover. Alabama went over there and got all they wanted and then some. So Auburn needs to bring it. Wichita State, 13-30, the Shockers are. It's amazing what happens over the course of your lifetime to certain baseball programs. Oklahoma will host them in Norman. Prairie View, A&M, 11-31 overall, will visit Texas. And Amar Donato from Prairie View, hitting 356, 4 dingers, and 24 ribbies. Southeastern Louisiana will be at OSU. Austin Peay will visit Ole Miss. That could be an interesting game, because Ole Miss has been kind of hit or miss in midweek games. Could be interesting. Austin Peay, 34-10 and 18-3 in their league. And you know what they did to us last year? I mean, those guys live for these games. Cameron Nickens hitting 425 with 15 tanks, 58 RBI. That's just impressive numbers no matter what league you're in. So that's something to watch. And, you know, it's interesting that we've kind of been reduced to the point that we're just kind of hoping Ole Miss loses. But maybe they lose some ball games against the Bulldogs. Real quickly, I want to talk about kind of the path forward. As mentioned earlier, we have 11 games remaining on the schedule. 8 of those 11 come at home. So an 8-game homestand before we take the final road trip of the year to Missouri. And, you know, I don't know what Missouri will do by the time we get there. But the reality of it is those are 3 games we absolutely have to have. But you got Memphis tomorrow night, and then we will have Kentucky this weekend. And so, again, there were many people kind of rooting against the Bulldogs because they were rooting for change. And that's a difficult spot to be in. But now that change has been made, you know, maybe perhaps we can unite as a fan base and get behind these kids and the M over S and make something of this thing down the stretch. There's still time, even though it's one of those things, too. It's just absolutely incredible. But, you know, the fact that we're in this position, you know. But a lot of people kind of disagree with firing Lemonis in season. You know, Zach Selman did the same thing with Zach Arnett. And I think some of the thinking behind that is let's try to ignite the fan base and get everybody behind this team. And because, like, here's the thing. You make a regional somewhere, you're not keeping them on us, right? Because it's already been executed. And so if you're in a situation where if you kept them on us and somehow you found your way into a regional, then there would be some pressure from some within the fan base to keep him. And so I think that's part of the issue there. If you look at the whole Zach Arnett thing, you know, like, we were a mess. You fire him, Greg Knox gets a team to rally to beat Southern Miss and gave Ole Miss a really good game. You win those two, you make a bowl game, right? And then there may have been pressure to keep Arnett. And I think the situation with Lemonis is people are just kind of ready to get off this roller coaster, right? And so now we focus on the head. Hey, you think about this. You put together 3 winning weekends down the stretch, you're probably going to get into postseason somewhere. But the reality of it is we got to go beat Memphis. And that's a team that we beat 5-3 back on April Fool's Day. I'm eager to see the response we get from the team tomorrow. Do they come out and play loose? It's only human nature, right? You know your coach is embattled. You know your coach is getting criticized. You know that some of your fans are advocating for his firing. Well, now that cloud has been lifted, and now you can go play for the love of the game. And we'll see how things go. But Kentucky coming in this weekend, of course, Nick Mangione, an obvious candidate for the Mississippi State job. It would be incredibly expensive to get him. But the question that I have asked many involved in this process is, what is Mississippi State baseball worth? What is our branding worth? What is hosting a regional worth? You know, you may have to go make a big investment to make a change here, to change the culture and the direction of the program. If you want to get back in the hosting discussion, in the top 8 discussion, Omaha discussion, you got to nail this higher. I think Nick is obviously an obvious candidate. It makes a lot of sense. Is he movable? I don't know. Then there is no midweek game next week, which I think is a good thing for us because we can save all of the arms for the weekend for the rivalry series, and we need you to be here for that. We need you to be here for both of these weekend series, I think, now more than ever. Now more than ever, your players need you to be here to cheer for them, to salute them. Final midweek game of the year and final home game is May 13th against North Alabama, and then we make the move on Thursday, Friday, Saturday series against Missouri. So, yeah, the games are there, but can you win them? And I think all that is going to depend on how Justin Parker and the staff handle this thing moving forward. It's nobody's fault. You know, that we got players out there. They didn't sign themselves. They didn't coach themselves. You know, but they're playing for something bigger than themselves. And I think that's the thing now. I just want to find a way to go make it happen. You know, as I've shared with you guys many times, my loyalty is to the M over S. I am a principles before personalities guy. And nobody is bigger than the brand. Nobody. Not a player, not a coach, not an administrator, not a writer, not a fan, not a donor. Nobody. Nobody is bigger than the program. And I think that's kind of what the statement that Zach Selman made today. It's like, yeah, Chris Lemonis won a national championship, but he hadn't done enough since then to maintain employment at Mississippi State. And I hate it. I wish it was better. Yeah, I do. But my allegiance is to those guys wearing the maroon and white. Chris Lemonis no longer wears the maroon and white. And I will always be forever grateful to Chris for what he has done for us and the time that he has been here. Did some amazing things early in his tenure here, obviously, but the last 4 years, three of those four have just been unacceptable. And yeah, we'll take a road regional in kind of a rebuilding year, right? Isn't how you feel? It's like we should be in the NCAA tournament every year. That should be an expectation, that you make a regional every single year. Kind of like you do at LSU and Arkansas. Those are our contemporaries. And that's one of the things that, you know, Bo Bounds and I talked about after LSU. Right? And there were people that wanted Lemonis fired after the LSU series. And I remember that Friday night when we had the rain delay. People were like, hey, do you think it's time to fire Lemonis? I said, I think it's premature. And it was premature. And clearly, that's how everybody else was, at least in leadership, was thinking. And after the LSU series, obviously you win the South Carolina series, you win the Alabama series, you think, okay, we're in a pretty good situation here. We needed to win that Florida series to have some juice going to Auburn. And then you lose that series, and you go to Auburn, and you lose 2 out of 3, and you really didn't look good. You didn't look clean, especially on Sunday. You know, Friday, I think you just got beat. Saturday, you win the game, but you're kind of biting your nails on his last couple of innings, just kind of waiting for us to blow it. And that is not Mississippi State baseball branding. It's not. And so we had to move forward. And my hope is now we can just kind of unite behind our team. You know, I remember when Bohannon got fired at Alabama and Jason Jackson, what a great job he did. You know, down the stretch, and a lot of people wanted Jason Jackson to get the job because, you know, he pushed those guys and they rallied around him and rallied around their own logo and got things going. So quickly here, some other names of consideration. A lot of people will throw out Butch Thompson's name. And listen, I get it, Mississippi guy, Amory guy. I just don't know if Butch is movable. We include him on our hot list because he makes good sense, right? I just don't think Butch is in a situation where he is unhappy. I mean, you've got a baseball AD. They just completely revamped that stadium. And so they put some money into the program, which will help recruiting. So, no, I don't think Butch Thompson is going to be your next Bulldog baseball coach. A lot of people say, Steve, what about the up-and-comers? Well, to me, you know, the up-and-comer that makes a lot of sense to me is Skylar Meade at Troy. Now, he played for Chris Lemonis. So you wonder about that aspect of it, right? And, again, I don't think Lemonis is going to ever do or say anything derogatory about Mississippi State baseball. I don't think he would discourage Meade from taking the job. Chris loved it here in Starkville. And for, you know, to be honest with you, I think in many respects, he was the only guy that didn't want to leave, right? And so I share that because I think Skylar Meade, you know, and again, we saw them come in and play Mississippi State with an edge when they came in and they won the ball game. And we certainly could have been in a much better situation against them. But I think Skylar Meade makes some sense if you want to go that route. The one thing that I am probably a little bit hesitant about when it comes to this coaching search, and it's kind of like how I felt, and by the way, Troy's 31-13 and 14-7 in their league. This job is a machine, right? There's a lot of expectations here, and we need to hire someone who embraces the expectations. And I wrote about this earlier. You know, John Cohen, right after we lose to UCLA in the National Championship Series, goes out there and says, we're going to keep coming back here, and we're going to kick that door down. You know, you almost kind of will it along, right? And so we need somebody that says, I want to go to Mississippi State, not because I want to have the great facilities, not because I just want to have the great fan support. All that's important. But I want to go to Mississippi State because I want to win national championships. And the infrastructure for me to do so is there. The fan support for me to do so is there. The facilities to do so are there. We have done our part. And now we've got to get a coach that we will consistently have us in that conversation. That's what we need kind of moving forward. And so that's, to me, is the most important aspect of it. Somebody that comes to Mississippi State, not just because it's a better job, not just because it's a nice town to raise a family. I want somebody that's going to be so obsessed with winning that when they lose a ball game they shouldn't, that they can't even sleep at night. I don't want a coach that just says, hey, Mississippi State is better than where I am today. I want somebody to absolutely fall in love with this place, fall in love with this program, fall in love with these fans, and say, you know what? I'm going to give these fans what they deserve. And I think Chris Simonis felt that way. I just think things kind of got away from him a little bit. So I'm not saying that Chris didn't have those thoughts or those attributes, and no way am I sitting here bad-mouthing Chris Simonis. Again, I'll be very grateful the rest of my life for what he has done for Mississippi State baseball. But at the end of the day, if you don't win enough, you don't get to stay. Simple as that. You don't get to stay if you don't win enough. And the pressure to win here is tremendous. Tremendous. And so I share those things with you. It's a few names. Again, we got about, I don't know, 16, 17 names on our hot board. I know Dan Heefner is going to be a popular name, one of the best coaches in baseball. But I don't know that he is movable from Dallas Baptist. I know people would say, but Steve, this is Mississippi State. This is a guy that is very rooted in his church and his community there. And I don't think the big check is the motivator for him. And shouldn't we all be so lucky, right, that we can find a place that we love and we believe in and we can build things our way and that money's not really the factor, right? You know what I'm saying? Because to whom much is given, much is required, right? And so I think DBU is an Omaha team in waiting anyway. But I don't think he's going to be movable. A lot of people are going to talk about him, but I don't think he's going to be your coach. And you say, but Steve, you know, who's going to be our coach? Well, we don't know. This process is really just begun. But I feel pretty confident that Zach Selman, and just call it a gut feeling, has already kind of done some due diligence to kind of see, hey, if we make a change, would your client be receptive? If we make a change, you know, what's the temperature look like in the room? And of course, you wish things were different. You wish Mississippi State was rolling and we were in, you know, getting ready to host a regional and we're already thinking about what's next. You know, instead of us having to sweat this thing out and saying, okay, we're 7-14 and we're going to find a way to win, you know, 6-7 more games in the SEC. And again, it's possible. Is it probable? I don't know. We're going to find out. I think you're going to learn a lot about Justin Parker and this baseball team this week. And those are the things that I think about, how different it'll feel for, you know, Jay Gotro and Kyle Cheesebro this week as they're preparing to go play an SEC game with really an uncertain future. And my hope is that everybody involved kind of puts their attention and their focus into the kids and taking care of the job at hand. And I know they will. And Jake Gotro has been here longer than anybody, right? So Jake's turned down some jobs to stay here because he loves Mississippi State. He loves Starkville. And I'm confident that he will find a good position somewhere. I have no doubt in my mind about that. I think all those guys will land on their feet. And we'll see how things progress as we move forward. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Without any question, the best place to stay when you're bringing a large group to town, whether it be for a ball game weekend or you just want to get away. You just want to say, you know what, I just want to get away from home. Or maybe you even live in the greater Starkville area and you're just like, you know what, I just would love to have a staycation. I want to go do something cool. I want to enjoy some time and effort of relaxing and just reconnecting with my family. I think that's one of those things that is extremely, extremely important. At the end of your life, it's going to be the people that gather around your bedside that you need to be putting your effort into now. It's not going to be your work friends. Not going to be your golfing buddies. They'll miss you, but they'll also replace you. You know, the people that love you the most, you'll leave a gaping hole in their lives that'll never be filled by anybody else. So invest some time in them. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And when you do, their Facebook page pops up. You can peruse through all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2, soon-to-be 3 baths, plenty of room to accommodate everybody, that great living area too. And it's off the beaten path a bit out past the Highlands. Super cool place. Plenty of parking. A lot of peace, a lot of quiet. A long way off 182. You know, so you're kind of tucked away back there where you can have some privacy. You know, not a lot of traffic out there. And I encourage you, again, to invest some time and effort in the people you love. Now, when you Google, some booking options are going to pop up. If you want to book through Airbnb and VRBO, you certainly can. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10, that's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, BSR10, and get 10% off your stay. A discount at one of the best places in the state to stay, but certainly in the Golden Triangle. You'll be glad you did. Check out the Stark Vegas Clubhouse today. Okay. Before we had the Lemonis news, we had a tremendous amount of news already as Mississippi State picks up a couple of commitments today on the out of the portal for the offensive line. Pretty impressive in that respect. As you guys are well aware, it's been a busy stretch. It has been very busy. And I commend Mississippi State's coaching staff for not kind of waiting around. I mean, guys, the portal just closed on Friday, and we talked about that some on Saturday, and next thing you know, we've pretty much filled our needs. We'd still like to take a defensive back out there. Is it a corner? Is it a safety? I mean, there's not a lot of, like, lockdown corners, and basically who you're going to get is probably going to be a guy that is going to be more of a depth guy. And so maybe you take a younger guy. But Brennan Smith, of course, from UTEP, made the move over the weekend. A guy that originally played at Austin Peay, followed his coach to UTEP, and then elects, hey, I'm going to spend my last year seeing what I can get as far as opportunities. He's a guy that knows Phil Oldholt, but he is a guy that, you know, they're hoping will lock down center. You know, Carson Lee went in the portal, and you think, okay, does that mean Kobe Keenum's going to start? I think Kobe is probably your center of the future, but you bring in a veteran guy that serves as kind of a stopgap guy. And then there's Javen James. Javen James commits today, former Akron, then Maryland offensive lineman. Signed with Joe Moorhead out of Eagles Landing Academy there in McDonough, I guess it is, and goes to Akron. Plays as a freshman, transfers to Maryland, and then back in the portal again, and lands at Mississippi State. And then we pick up Zach Owens, a former 247 Sports four-star at a high school. A guy that's 6'6", 345 pounds. And I wrote about this earlier today. He had 17 300-pounders last year, and only 4 of them on the defensive line. Well, now you're going to have about 25 of them, and you've doubled your defensive line. Of course, there's not as many guys along the defensive line, right? Because most of those guys, like your edge guys, aren't going to be 300-pounders. But guys that play with their hand in the ground, you're going to always have 5 of those on offense. Sometimes you may have 2 or 3 on defense. So you're going to have more offensive line. But I bring that up because we wanted to get bigger and more physical, and we have. As Dan Mullen used to say, big people beat little people up. Jackie Sherrill used to see, use verbiage to the same context there. But we are a bigger football team, and that's one of the things that I worried and wondered about when we got ready to get in the spring portal. It's like, what's the quality of the talent pool going to look like? We want to go out there and get bigger. And, guys, I'll tell you this. When I walked out there that first day of spring practice, I even walked up to some of our staffers, and I said, I'm worried about this offensive line. You look at that defensive line, you think, hey, this looks more in tune with what you'd expect from an SEC program. And you look at the offensive line, and you're like, holy smokes. There's some guys. I'm 6'2", 215 pounds, depending on what day you weigh me. There were some guys out there that were my height or shorter. And I'm thinking, there's no way this group can go out there and consistently compete in the Southeastern Conference. Of course, you had Luke Work and you got Jimothy Lewis, but that's not enough. And you can only get so far, have an interior offensive lineman that around 6 foot, 6'2". And so, yeah, I'm sure when Phil Oldholt walked out there the first day of practice, he's probably thinking, I got to start doing some due diligence and get ready for the spring portal because we got to get bigger. And we have. And so Mississippi State now in a really good position, 5 offensive linemen, 2 tight ends, and a long snapper. And this is a guy that we think will be able to do it. You know, Luke Beard elected to get in the portal, and we go out and get Ethan Myers. And so, you know, we'll see how things progress. But again, now the focus is on a defensive back. Now, we have a defensive tackle on campus today out of Charlotte. We'll see what that means. Because it could end up being like if you can't get the DB you want, maybe you take a best available type player. And based on what you saw last year with our run defense, do you or do you not agree we can take all the defensive linemen we can get, right? That's an important aspect of things too. All right, final comments about everything today. And again, it's been a very lengthy day. I think over at Gene's page, we've had about 15, 16 stories. And so it's been busy for us. And we get busy when you guys need us. And so 60% off the annual subscription price right now. And we're going to, again, run that about a week. But I think this coaching search is going to take some time to work itself out. Right, because there is so much time left in the regular season. You know, you may be chasing a coach that may play deeper into the postseason. Now, you may make a deal with somebody, or at least their agent, but you're not going to make a hire until they're done with their current responsibilities. And, you know, the portal opens like right after the regionals. And so that's the thing you got to think about. You know, what are we doing to ensure that we get a good portal class? What are we doing to ensure that our current players don't go get in the portal? And, of course, you have some time to kind of flesh that out. But the reality of it is you want to make sure you get it all taken care of before it becomes a problem. But here is the thing that I know, and I've lived it. Mississippi State baseball endures. It does. We didn't start playing in 1985. We started in 1885. Mississippi State made college baseball matter in the Southeastern Conference. We were the first school to have on-campus lights for baseball, thanks to Dutch McCool. We were the first team to have a full-time college baseball coach in Ron Polk. We were the first ones to really invest in baseball facilities. And a lot of people have patterned themselves behind us. But Mississippi State baseball will be back. Now, I think it's important that now we all come together. We may have had differing opinions. We may have had different motivations. But we all share the same love for Mississippi State sports, and specifically Mississippi State baseball. It's been the one thing that we have always kind of been able to count on through the years. We've had some ups and downs. But, you know, even when we had a mediocre football season or perhaps basketball season wasn't to our liking, we always felt that Mississippi State baseball would allow us to end the academic and athletic year on a high note. And you know what? When we didn't make it to Omaha, we were pissed. And right, so a lot of this anger and frustration that has been voiced the last few years comes from that. It comes from the fact that we are a national blue blood program, even much to the chagrin of others, and there are expectations. And those expectations have to be met. And when they're not met, we're going to have a very vocal fan base. That's not a negative thing. That's a very positive thing. And I have faith that Zach Selman will find the coach that will answer those expectations. I've seen some posts out there, do we trust Zach Selman to make these decisions? Well, yes, we do. We hired him to make those decisions. And no, he's not a baseball guy. But as somebody who has had multiple conversations with him as of late, I can tell you Zach Selman is committed to winning and winning big in baseball. He understands the importance of this hire. You guys do as well. Because you're tired of losing. And I get so sick and tired of losing. I can't stand it. We get down 8-2 in that ball game in the second yesterday. I just wanted to just close my laptop and go get in the car. But I didn't. I've got an obligation to all of you. And I've got a certain level of professionalism that I must adhere to. I got my own standards. Right? But I'm so sick and tired of losing. And I'm so sick and tired of trying to find a way to make myself feel better about the direction of things. But it's so frustrating to be 2 weekends into the season, 3 weekends into the SEC season, and we're having to think, what is the minimum standard? How many games do we have to win just to make the tournament? That's the thing that weighs on me more than anything else. It's not Twitter or the message board comments. That's just all in a day's work. I've been doing this 30 years, man. I got alligator skin. But I make such an investment in Mississippi State baseball, financially, emotionally, creatively, and I want those efforts to be rewarded. I want to write about another national championship season. I want to write Dogpile 2. That's what I want. I don't just want to write about the engine that could. I want to write about the baseball team that did. And I know you guys do too. And I had somebody just the other day, one of our Boneyard listeners, and again, I forget his name. I met him Friday, him and his wife. Great people, live in Montgomery. And he said, man, my dad had never heard of you, and we listened to the Boneyard all the way up there to get ready, and then we listened to the national championship show on the way back. I've done a lot of great things in my life, things I'm very proud of. But that national championship show, I've had a lot of people that have told me over the years, they've gone back and listened to it again. I had one guy, I'll never forget this, and I hope I don't, long as I live. We had a bulldog that was a big part of the Mississippi State Facebook family. And he messaged me after the NAFL championship. And he goes, I haven't really told many people this, but I don't have long to live. He said, I've been battling cancer for a while and going to remission. It's come back and I'm not going to make it. And he goes, I'm just glad that I live long enough to see this day. And he goes, some days when I'm doing chemo or whatever, I'll put on that show and I relive those moments. And this is not about me, but about the magnitude of that moment and what it meant to us. And we're not done. We're not done. And you know what? This was a necessary move. I support Zach Selman's decision. Because, again, I'm a principles before personalities guy. As much as I love Chris Simonis and his staff, I love Mississippi State baseball that much more. And I want what's best for Mississippi State baseball. I want what's best for all of you. I want what's best for Mississippi State as a university, as an institution, as a program. And now it's a challenge of Zach Selman to go out there and hire the best person possible to get us back where we rightfully belong. We've had a little bit of a detour since winning an AFL championship. And so now we need to bring in some new hunger, right? We need to bring in a new way of doing things. And again, that's not a criticism of Chris Simonis. But it was time to make the change. And some people would say, well, it's been time. Okay, congratulations. But you got what you wanted. But what I wanted is for Mississippi State to win big. And again, that's not about a coach. It's not about a player. It's not about a pregame meal. It's about an institution. That institution's Mississippi State Baseball. You can come support us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. We had a huge weekend and wasn't really expecting that considering that we had baseball on the road. You know, we get a lot of people that come in. It was a bike race thing, and a lot of people from the road bike race came and was part of it. If you're looking for a chance to kind of relax and reset your physical and mental clock, we may be able to help you. Come float at True West Float Spa Starkville, 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife. Please say some nice things about me. And she sees it every day. She doesn't really need you to do that. But it wouldn't hurt, you know. You can visit truerest.com. And, of course, if you don't need to call and schedule the appointment, if you don't have any questions, you just want to go try it out, you can download the True Rest app and book online. And certainly come be a part of us at jeanspage.com. Again, 60% off the annual subscription for a limited time only just because of this coaching search thing. And so we'll get that going for a few days, and then it'll disappear again. But don't delay in that because this deal won't last for very long. And then go to dudynoblebook.com. You get all my sports titles there. That's The Dude. That's Flim Flam. That's Alpha Dog, Stark Villains. I forget them, Dogpile, of course, and When the Bottom Falls. You can find all the sports titles plus the book about recovery at dirtynoblebook.com. But that's going to do it for today. For those of you that listen tonight, I'm going to post the show in the morning on Gene's page, but it should be available on your wherever you get your quality podcast. But again, it's been a long day, but I believe better days are ahead, and I hope that that begins on Tuesday with a big win over Memphis. I mean, I don't just mean big just to win a game. I hope that we go out there and play loose and get ready for Kentucky. If I'm Kentucky, I'm probably a little bit concerned, right, just because you never know what to expect now. What's Justin Parker going to do, right? The players are the players, but how we manage the game may change. But I wish the best for Chris Simonis, for all of you, and certainly for Mississippi State baseball. Hell State as always. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.